This morning we're going to be continuing in our series on freedom in the Spirit from Galatians. We like to preach through series in this church. It's a good way to get to know the Bible and what God's speaking to us about. And we've been steadily climbing a mountain, really, if you like, going through Galatians. And this morning we get to Galatians chapter 5, which is really, I think, the top of the mountain. We're going to look at what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean for us as Christians to walk in the Spirit? What does that mean in order that we may bring glory to God and we may impact our city as well? So let's read together Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 16 to 25. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Whenever you see a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. "And you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are in opposition to each other, to keep you from doing the things you may want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalry, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And we're going to look at verse 25 this morning. "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Amen. And so we've been saying over the last few weeks, Masala has been helping us as well, that Paul has written this very strong letter to the Galatians. He kind of gets a bit upset and he kind of rebukes them that, having begun by holding on to Jesus and walking in the Spirit and following the Lord Jesus, they were moving back into the law and circumcision. And Paul says to them, don't do that, because if you go back to keeping the law, if you go back to legalism, if you go back to living your Christian life by rules and regulations, Christ will be of no value to you and you'll be cut off from the life of Christ. And that's what he says in verse 1. He said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Can you say amen? "Stand firm then and do not come again under a yoke of slavery." And so this morning we want to talk about how do we walk in the Spirit. What does it mean for us as Christians to walk in the Spirit? To literally walk with God. How do we walk with God? How do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit and obey Him and His promptings? Because this is true freedom. The Living Bible says, "I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and you won't be doing the wrong thing your flesh wants you to do." Julian Adams, in his book on living under an open heaven, he says, "God has called us to live in the realm of the supernatural." I prefer the word to walk in the Spirit, "as a daily part of life. We are a people of the Spirit. Many do not know how to experience or to access the realm of the Spirit. Many Christians need a fresh revelation of who they are in Christ and how to walk in the Spirit." And so that's what I want to help us with today. I want to help you in a number of ways on how do we walk in the Spirit in the midst of our stressed, say stressed, and distracted culture we're living in today. How do we walk in the Spirit? How do you actually walk in the Spirit in the midst of a rushed and busy culture we live in today? And so I want to do some teaching and then I'll give some prophetic exhortation at the end. Okay. So the Christian life, this is just part of the introduction. First of all, friends, it's not just a rescue operation from sin and slavery. It's not just what God has rescued you from, but it's what He's rescued you for. He wants to bring you into freedom. He wants to make you an overcomer. He wants you to experience the life of God here on earth. Hallelujah. That's what he's looking for. And so faith in Christ marks the beginning of the Christian life, but then God wants us to be filled with the Spirit and walk in step with the Holy Spirit, that we may live for God, that we may please God, that we may hear his voice. And so the Bible tells us that when you become a Christian, we're still living in the flesh. The person next to you, that's a real person. They're living in the flesh. We're still on this earth. We live in the flesh, but we don't live according to the flesh. We don't live according to the dictates of the flesh. We have natural desires, but we don't want those natural desires to start ruling our lives and becoming corrupt desires. We don't want to be live by the flesh, the corruption of the flesh. We want to live for God in a world that's really driven by their own fleshly desires. People today in the world are largely driven by their feelings and their own desires. And we, on the other hand, are living for God. And we're wanting to walk in the Spirit, and we want to obey God. That's what we're looking for. And friends, it can be done. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't encourage us to do it. And so I want to encourage you this morning. How do we do that? And so we're going to focus on verse 25 here, where Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This radical Christian life that God has called us to do. So let's first of all talk about living by the Spirit. Okay, living by the Spirit. All Christians are alive by the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, the Spirit of God comes and dwells within you. We're all alive by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. It means that the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I'm alive in Christ. We have been switched over to a superior fuel in order to live and play out the game of life. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Remember, we said in Galatians 4 verse 6, Paul says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. And so we receive the Spirit of Jesus within us, that we may know that we belong to God. Spiritual adoption gives us the rights as the children of God, and regeneration gives me the nature of God in me. Hallelujah. And so I begin to live as a Christian with this inner God consciousness within me, because Jesus lives within me. The Spirit of God dwells within me. And so it's a fact that when I become a Christian, I'm now in the grip of grace. I'm no longer under the principle of sin and death. God has rescued me out of the world, and he wants me to know increasingly what it is to walk in obedience and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. And so we all live as Christians. We live by the Spirit. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. God lives within you. Amen. But secondly, Paul wants us to also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he says there. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So there's a difference, and they're different Greek words. There's a difference between living in the Spirit, which involves all Christians, and keeping in step with the Spirit, which we have to prioritize. We have to say, I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be led by God. Being led is the goal of walking. It's not automatic. So we all live by the Spirit, but we may not all keep in step with the Spirit. There are times we may be out of step with the Spirit. And sometimes it takes time as we learn to hear God's voice and walk in obedience to him as well. And so there's general walking, and then there's walking in step, which means walking carefully and prioritizing what God wants for my life and for your life. And that's what means walking in the Spirit. And it's not just for elite Christians. It's not just for a special group. It's open to all of us. Hallelujah. And God is there to help us. He wants to help us. Paul says, come on, let us also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that is what we're looking for. The Spirit enables us, but he won't force you. It's the same with the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are given, but we need to fan them into flame. And so we have a part to play in this thing as well. and as we walk in the Spirit. And so that's the challenge for us today, that we become a people that are increasingly led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And also churches. You want a church to walk in the Spirit. God is leading us as a church somewhere. As Rob and Makosi were telling us this morning, God spoke to us on the camp about God pouring out His Spirit upon us. There's going to be localized showers upon us as a church. Hallelujah. And we look forward to that. But we also know, we did a course called Freedom in Christ a few years ago, we also know that there's such a thing as a fleshly Christian or a carnal Christian. That's someone who is not walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says to them, I had to address you as fleshly Christians, not as mature Christians, because you're still fighting and there's jealousy and division amongst you. And so what are the marks of a fleshly Christian? It's someone whose mind is often occupied by the wrong thoughts. It's someone who has overwhelmingly negative emotions. Someone who's living in opposition to their identity in Christ. Someone who has feelings of inferiority or insecurity or guilt or worry or doubt. They're not living out their identity in Christ. And maybe they've got stuck in certain sins. And friends, we've all been there. We've all struggled with these things. And at that point, we're not really walking in the Spirit. But God says, I've got something better for you. Hallelujah. I don't want you to live like this. I want you to walk in the Spirit. So how do we walk in the Spirit? That was my introduction. How do we walk in the Spirit? Okay, and I want to give you a few points this morning. Number one, I need to live with an awareness of Christ in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so I need to live with an awareness of Christ in me. I mustn't just live with an awareness of myself. I must live with an awareness that Christ dwells within me. Hallelujah. And I'm focused on Jesus, and I'm living according to Him, and I'm aware He dwells within me, and He's gonna be prompting me and leading me and guiding me and convicting me and stirring me and speaking to me. Christ is in me. Hallelujah. It's the revelation of the age, really, that we walk in awareness of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's the spiritual attitude I live by. And I'm leaning towards this all the time. I'm saying, Lord, what do you want from my life? Where are you leading me? What would you have me to do? And friends, it's completely opposite to the way of this world, which is really a way of selfishness. The world exists for three things, really. Doing what makes me happy, being true to myself, and letting no one else tell me what to do. But we live a completely different way as Christians. We're living a completely different lifestyle. We're saying, no, I don't want to just do my way. Lord, let not my will be done, let your will be done. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's not a passive thing. We must actively choose every day to walk in the Spirit and to follow the Lord. And when you do that, you will transcend the law of Moses. You will begin to live a Christian life that far outstrips the Old Testament law. The Bible says in Galatians, it says the law has nothing to say to those who walk in the Spirit, because we're living a higher existence. We're obeying God. We're fulfilling His commandments. Michael Eaton says this. He says, you will understand this if we emphasize the word belong. Verse 24. It says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and walk in the Spirit. He says, there are some who are Christ's people more than the average Christian. That may startle you. God uses them a lot. They're close to Him. Such people are the way they are because they have crucified the flesh. They're following the Lord. It means you put yourself exactly where God wants you, and you do exactly what He says, and you go exactly where He leads according to His leading in your life. And friends, it's not a heavy thing. It's not a burden, because the Spirit within you has desires, and He will lead you and He will guide you. And we can begin to recognize His voice and His promptings and His touch. I become more God conscious. I become aware of His leading in my life. About 3 years ago, I phoned one of my friends, Marius Gradwell. I've known him for years. He's a pastor in East London. And I phoned him one day, and he told me he was going through a terrible time in his church. And he was going through a terrible time in his life, and he actually caused him so much difficulty that he got a blood clot in his leg and he had to have an emergency operation, and it was just hectic. And as he spoke to me on the phone, I just felt tremendous compassion, and I started crying on the phone. And I said to him, I don't know why I'm crying like this. I said, but I'm just so moved by your story. And I said to him, I'm going to get on a plane and come see you. He said, no, you can't do that. I said, I'm getting on a plane. I'm coming to see you. I just felt God prompting me. And I went down to the Eastern Cape, and we just sat together, and I said, just tell me your story. Just talk to me. And sometimes it's good for pastors to talk to each other. And he just told me his story, and I listened, and we prayed together. And then he said to me, I want you to talk to our leaders tomorrow. I said, listen, I didn't come down here to talk to your leaders. I came down here just to have coffee and talk to you. He said, no, I've organized it. He's a strong Afrikaans guy too, so that's what we were going to do. So I gathered some of the leaders, we chatted, and the next day he said to me, man, that was fantastic. Have you got more of this kind of stuff? And so that's what led to us doing the Africa Leadership School in East London. And we've been doing that now for 2 years and trained 100 leaders. But it began with a prompting of the Holy Spirit, just feeling compassion for a guy that was going through a difficult time. And that's how the Holy Spirit drew me into that situation. And we need to, you know, in terms of being Spirit-led, it's beginning to see with the eyes of the Spirit. It's beginning to flow with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. To not just react to what the world is doing, but to respond to what God is doing. Hallelujah. And to Father with Him. And so it begins, first of all, by just being aware that God will lead you and guide you, and God's at work in your life. God is at work in your life. And the Holy Spirit has desires, and He will lead you and guide you and pull you and prompt you. And it's wonderful. Secondly, it also means that I live to obey His word, which the Spirit loves. And so in John chapter 14, I'm just going to read these verses just to emphasize my point. And John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. And then we get to verse 20. He says, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you and in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So when you begin to obey God's commandments, when you begin to obey God, when you say, Lord, I'm going to obey your word, the Holy Spirit loves that, and he will be manifest in your life. He will begin to work in your life. He will begin to manifest himself increasingly through your life because you obey his word. We cannot divorce the word of God from the life of the Spirit. And thirdly, I also get to know myself as I begin to walk in the Spirit. How do I walk best? How do I operate best? I get to know myself. Paul says that. He says, watch over yourself. Friends, we mustn't let Google know more about you than you know about yourself. Do you know now with the internet, with digital capitalism, Google knows when you are depressed. If you're pregnant as a woman, Google knows when you're going to have your baby because of the searches you do on the internet. Google will know when you're about to deliver your baby before you've told your mother you're going to deliver your baby. We're living in this world of the internet. And we don't want to be in a situation where we're out there in some mainframe computer in Silicon Valley, they know more about you than you know about yourself. I need to know how to walk in the Spirit. Where am I weak? Where am I strong? How do I operate? My actions, my thoughts, my moods. Who knows what you're walking through right now? Do you walk alone? How does Satan tempt you? He tempts us through temptation, accusation, isolation, and broken relationships. Choose one which he's often used with you. Get to know yourself. And so I don't just walk generally, but I walk specifically in every area. I let the Holy Spirit be the controlling influence in my life. And friends, I'm still learning this myself. I'm not preaching this as an expert. But it means that every day I acknowledge that I belong to God and I get on God's side. And if I fail, I say, Lord, forgive me. And I get up again. And I say, Lord, I want to follow your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And when you begin to do that, the Bible says you will also overcome the flesh. You will begin to overcome things in your life. Verse 16, You will overcome the sinful desires of the flesh. Verse 16, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's a New Testament promise with a condition. If you do this, then that will happen. And only the Spirit can do that for you. Only the Holy Spirit can break the stranglehold of sin over your life. The Holy Spirit will send you back to the cross. He will send you back to the cross. And these fleshly things in our lives will be crucified by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? You guys are still excited at that point. And so friends, the message of justification is that I don't have to go through what Jesus did because he went to the cross for me. But the message of sanctification is that I must continue to embrace Christ at the cross in order to put ongoing sin in my life to death. Amen. And the Spirit will help me with that. The Holy Spirit will lead me. And the degree to which you embrace this is the degree to which you will experience life in the Holy Spirit. If you don't, and you give in to sins of the flesh, at that point of your life, you will not experience the kingdom of God. And it says that there. Paul says that. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. At that point in your life, when you give yourself over to the flesh, when you stop sowing to the Spirit, you will find that it's almost like the blessing of God just withdraws from your life. You will battle to hear His voice. You will battle to sense His presence if you give yourself to the flesh. But if you give yourself to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be manifest in your life. Hallelujah. And so friends, there's a battle that we have to fight. And the Spirit will also help us. We need to recognize these works of the flesh. Paul says to us that the works of the flesh are obvious. Let's have a look there. We've read them already. The works of the flesh are obvious. And they come in four groups, these works of the flesh. And sometimes these works in the flesh don't just operate in our lives, they operate in our families. And so there are four areas. Paul says we have to watch if we really want to walk in the Spirit. I should have put it up on the board. There's first of all sexual stuff. Secondly, there's spiritual stuff. Sexual stuff, sexual immorality, pornography, being overcome by, we live in a sex-saturated world. Secondly, spiritual stuff, idolatry, witchcraft, manipulation of people. The next one is social sins, social conflict, where we're constantly fighting and we're having broken relationships and forgiveness is needed. And finally, substance, drunkenness or addictiveness. These are the sins of the flesh that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us overcome. And friends, we're living in a world today where we've even changed our terminology to avoid detection of these things. So sexual immorality has become my personal lifestyle. Impurity and idolatry has become freedom of expression. And witchcraft are now part of my cultural practices. And friends, only the gospel has the power and the worldview to break these things off your soul by the power of the indwelling Spirit. Hallelujah. The world can't even diagnose the problem, let alone find a cure. But we live by the Spirit. And when you do this, God will give you more grace. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Let's just have a look there together. Are you still with me? James chapter 4. It's just after Hebrews. Verse 5 says this. And do you not suppose that it is of no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. When you begin to live like this, when you begin to walk like this, even as you take your first few steps, God will notice, and he will give you more grace, and he will urge you on, and he will come because he loves you. It's his jealous love. And so there may be times that you are yearning for the world and your flesh is in control, but God yearns for you and God loves you, and He will give you more grace and He will help you, and you will begin to experience a transition in your life from being self-conscious to being God-conscious, from just restraining grace to empowering grace. Hallelujah. Because God goes after you, and you will lose your grip on the things of this world. Hallelujah. And you will begin to experience the kingdom of God, and you will begin to inherit the kingdom of God spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally in your life. Hallelujah. As I follow God and as I obey God. And so friends, the gospel is free, but it does cost you everything. Amen. And what we need to do is not sow to the flesh, but sow to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And as we do that, we'll find God is manifest in our life. And He comes and He pursues us and He pours out His Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. As we let go of the things of the world and we embrace what God has. So you can't do both. We have to follow the things of the Spirit. I just want to illustrate this for you. Can you just bring that stuff in? Where's Nathan? Let's give him a clap. Come up, Nathan. Got the best looking guy I could find around. Okay, so there he is. And so, thank you, Shannon. And the best looking girl. Thanks, eh? So, these are the things of the world you're carrying. These are the desires of the flesh and the things of the world. And the gospel is a free gift. Hallelujah. Now this is one of Louise's favorite jars for putting flowers or something in, I don't know. But this represents the gospel. The gospel is a free gift given to you in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. But it will cost you everything. Nathan? Here's the gospel. It's a free gift. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. He looked nervous before I threw it. Well done. Well done. So as you let go of stuff, you will find the kingdom manifest more and more in your life. And God will give you more grace. And the Holy Spirit will be manifest in your life. And you will hear His voice and you'll begin to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And friends, it's a precursor to revival. It's what God is calling us into. Imagine what happens if we all began to walk in this way. Imagine if churches, as communities, we began to walk in this way in opposition to what's going on in the world. We began to walk and follow God in the midst of a distracted and stressed culture. So as I close, I just want to just bring you one or two prophetic motivations this morning that will help you. I believe we need increasingly in these days moments with God and encounters with God. We are living in, it's difficult to know, you understand your generation when you're in it. We are living today in one of the most stressed, rushed, busy, distracted cultures that ever was. A friend of mine, I was listening to a podcast the other day. The guy said he was in Hawaii and he went to the toilet and there was a minor earthquake in Hawaii. Just rattled a little bit. He went to the toilet, he finished, he got on his plane and he flew back to Australia. It was fine. When he got to Australia, his friends were freaking out. They said, "My goodness, are you alive? Are you okay?" He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You were in that earthquake in Hawaii." Social media has a way of bringing anxiety and information and stress to us sometimes that's actually worse than the reality. And we live in this world today of world news and global news and what's Trump doing and what's happening. And these things have an effect upon us as we live this kind of stressed life today. And more than ever before, we need moments with God. We need to learn to just spend time with the Lord. You have to wait on God in order to walk. You have to spend time in His presence in order to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. It's so important. I need to slow down so God can catch up. As T.D. Jakes would say, is this message for anyone here this morning? Because I need to keep my soul in touch with the living God so that His Spirit keeps flowing in my lives. A.W. Tozer said, modern civilization is so complex and stressful that the need for solitude and quietness and God's word and prayer was never greater than it is today in order to rediscover the discovery of spiritual aloneness and to walk with God. And the journey you take is not on your feet, but it's in your heart. You walk with God in the garden of your own soul before you can walk with Him in public life. And friends, I just feel that's so important for us today, this prophetic call to us. The thing that God wants before anything else, He just wants our attention. He just wants our attention. And when we spend time with Him, put your cell phone in the toilet or put it under the mattress or put it in the fridge or put it outside in your car. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's so important today. We need today a restoration of quiet times like never before. We need a restoration today of the Sabbath, one day where we rest. It's a sign of liberation from slavery. Tozer says this, he was a 20th century prophet, he says, you need to retire from the world each day to a private spot. You need to stay in that secret place till the surrounding noises fade out of your heart and a sense of God's presence envelops you. The quieter you are, the more you will hear. You need to listen for His inward voice and learn to recognize it. You need to reduce your interests to a few. Our lives are just too cluttered. Learn to pray inwardly every moment. Never let your mind be scattered for too long. Call home your roving thoughts and gaze on Christ with the eye of your soul. Friends, this is so needed today. It's so needed today. But we don't just need moments. We also need encounters with God. In worship, as we had this morning and at the camp, times of prayer, where we pray together, where people pray with you. We're going to need each other more than ever before. Prophecy, folk prophesying over your life, speaking to you. Our Sunday gatherings are so important. So we don't just come on Sundays to listen to a live podcast and go home. But we're involved with the community of God and then let God send us out on assignment. And so I close with these well-known verses in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 says this. Even young men grow faint and weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As you wait on the Lord, what will happen? Two things will happen. You will be able to walk in the Spirit as you wait on Him. He will refuel you. He will reboot you. Some of us need rebooting. I spoke to my friend the other day. He said to me, my cell phone's not working. I said, when last have you switched it off? He said, never. I said, switch it off and switch it on. He did. He says, working. Now I'm a technical expert. I just know you need to switch yourself off. Friends, we need to switch off and switch on sometimes. You can't just be on all the time. And what will happen is when you wait on the Lord, you'll be rebooting yourself. You'll be getting a re-perspective again. And it will enable you to walk in the Spirit. And what will happen, you will rise up with wings as eagles. You will get a heavenly perspective of your situation. You'll get a heavenly perspective. You'll get a perspective that lifts you above Berg Street and Pelham. And wherever you live, in Bali or wherever, you'll get a heavenly, you'll rise up with the wings like eagles. You'll begin to, God will speak to you. You'll see things differently. You'll see things from His perspective. And then when you begin to walk, you will walk and not grow weary. And you will run and you will not faint as you wait upon the Lord. And so friends, we need moments with God. We need a restoration of quiet times. We need to be in His Word. We need to be radical about this because otherwise the secular age is going to sweep us off. People are so rushed and distracted today. Our lives are too busy. And God says, I want you to walk in the Spirit, which is completely different to the spirit of this world. And to do that, we need moments with God. We need to say, perhaps for some of you, say tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening, whenever you work best, I'm going to give half an hour to the Lord. I'm just going to sit quietly. I'm going to be in His presence. I'm going to let Him speak to me. Begin to read His Word. And wait on God. And just be quiet. And be still. And know that He is God. And then I'm going to look for encounters. And God fills me with His Spirit. And God speaks to me. I get prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I begin to walk in a completely different way. I'm still effective in the world. I'm still doing my job. I'm still doing what I need to do, but I'm plugged into God. I'm living another life. I'm seeing things from His perspective. I'm hearing His voice. He's saying things to me. He's helping me with my attitudes. I'm overcoming sexual sin. I'm overcoming social conflict. I'm overcoming spiritual stuff that comes against me. And some of you struggle because there's stuff in your families that's come down the family line. There's stuff in our cultures that comes down the line. Not everything in our cultures is wonderful. God will deliver you from that as you resist that spirit. And He will save you from addictiveness, which is what we do in our culture today. We become addicted to take the edge off the pain and the stuff we experience. And Paul says, don't live like that because you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Live like this. Walk in the Spirit. Obey my voice. Obey my word. Prioritize this in your life. And the Holy Spirit will be manifest in your life. And you'll find there's an ease. It'll be like you'll be lubricated. And you'll find that, yeah, there are tough times and there are challenges, but God is with me. And I can find Christ in the crisis. And I can find Christ in the challenge. And the Holy Spirit is with me. And friends, let me tell you something. That is going to become so attractive to people in this world. Because this world, the secular myth, this world's philosophy is that we can build a kingdom without the King. We can have a kingdom without Jesus. We can have progress without His presence. But all over the world, things are unraveling. We're living through an unraveling society. In every area, politically, in the law, in the families, in education, in economics, every area is collapsing today. Because you cannot build a society without God. And as we walk in the Spirit, people are going to turn to us and say, everything's being shaken. God says, behold, in the last days, I will shake all things. I will shake all things. And as things get shaken and shaken up, but we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And people look at you and say, what's different to you? Why are you not shaking along with us? I say, well, we plugged into a different kingdom. We're following a different king. We're living from a different life source. Hallelujah. And people will look and they'll come and they'll say, won't you speak to us? Won't you help us? We need what you've got. We can lead them to Jesus. And so that's what Paul says to us. If we live by the Spirit, which we all do, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And as we do that, friends, great blessing will come to us. To do that as a church, the blessing of God will come down on us. We will have localized showers in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Amen.